Mr. Mackenzie, reel 4. I just wanted to move on to your basic training. How were you organised in units when you were at Brandsmith?
When we were in Brandsmith, we were put into four groups. And you were in two house groups, and that was Inkerman and Hodge. And in that one, you had two sergeants, and you both had trained to that type of thing. So it was just the basics when you went training on the ground, how you went on the march in that one.
How many were in each group?
There'd be about 30 in each. Well, it would be a bit more than that because it'd be about 140 there. But there's a few dropped out as it's going on. So it would be about 135 to 30. Well, that'd be even number, so it'd be about 35 to 37, something like that. You know, with a sergeant, a corporal. And some, he had various officers until they started to come later on. And occasionally you'd see the RSM. But most of the time, when we started up, it was on the square. Then we had to go into the sheds where the transport was because the snow on the field on that one. So we're doing quite a bit of in the sheds, doing a lot of that type of thing. Then most of that was just done then. And we went on courses, started doing a bit of running after that one. And that was down to Page Bank. That was like the first one. A bit up the bank a bit there, just up the spinning wall, doing that one, march, spin.
These route marches?
Like just the training march, it wasn't route marches then. You do the route marches about a large, 30 mile or something like that, route march. The training was just started basic to get you in trim. You'd done a bit PE, physical training in there, that one.
How fit were the men in general, yourself and the other
Most of the men was pretty, well, I'd say there. But we were 90, most were from 18 to 20, and some of them was 21. So you had a big difference in the type of man you was. Some was like pretty well strength up then, pretty fit, and the other ones wasn't. Luckily, I'd been weightlifting, so I was pretty fit, and being a bricklayer, with that one, I was pretty fit to the other lad who was like working in the store. So you can understand the difference between, some people. So what we'd done, we started on that one, and then we started Page Bank. From there, we didn't go to Page Bank. We started going up the Crook and that way. And there,
how far is that?
Well, the first one was up the... just up the road, about 8 miles up the road. Then you run, march, then that one. Then you had to do the route march on the morning. You had to go out by yourself, run by the river, up Page Bank and through that way and come there. With like markers on and come back over in a certain time. The usual thing to try and see how we can come in and see the winners and everything else. Then that went on for through the January, February. In January, we had the doctor came in, a dentist actually then, and it was a bit of a funny thing that, because when we went down, I had some teeth, and I had to go up to Newcastle to the Fenham, and we were going up onto the Newcastle.
The Fenham Barracks?
No. Fenham Barracks is where I went to the teeth, but my teeth, I got them pulled out and drilled. And I came back, when instead of going back over, went up there, on the Rangers, up in Northumberland. And I had this cloth in, and it's dropped out, so I was rather in a naughty way for myself when I came back. And I went in, I said, can you give something about the bloody thing, because I'm sore. So anyway, the dentist actually came and he said, I don't know how this happened, But that was one of the things that you laugh about. I say you laugh, you cry your eyes out. But painkillers and that. Just then, it was mostly seeing how you fitted in with people. Nappies when you went down because you weren't going out. Some would go, if they could get away, shooting off the home and that one. Some just lived local. So they, down to Durham, some of them would go that way. But you were mostly into camp because you had to do the usual things to get you broken in.
So how did your sort of typical day go when you were training?
6:30 Revalley. Well, most of them was up at 6 o'clock because you had a bloke there who was a fanatic for getting up to sit out there.
And this was the middle of winter. How were the barracks heated?
The barracks had one stove in. It was coal fired, but if you're going to get an inspection, you pour it out because you had to blacken it with your boot polish. It was all the same. Sometimes you had the window out because Crouchy was working on the other side of it, digging coal out, open cast. And some of the stone was coming across and, you know, machines catching. So occasionally you'd have a window out. So you just put cardboard.
It must have been freezing.
Yeah. Two cutters, everything goes when you're tired and you're shattered, you'll sleep. You'll learn that. Easy.
What about in the morning then?
Morning, you just got up down the street. You had to walk about 150 yards down to the toilets, the latrines, wash, change, come back again. Sometimes you do a bit of exercise and then go for your breakfast. I think it was breakfast at 8 o'clock then. Then come back in again, get your breakfast. And about 8 o'clock, get your room checked and everything else, you know, kit inspection, normal procedure. Then you'd set yourself a routine of that one. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, maybe a nappy break then on till 1, then for your dinner again.
So what sort of training would you be doing in the morning?
Morning was all, we on the square. Most of the time was on the square street, we went to square.
Was that marching?
Marching. Learn how to march, how to salute. In that thing.
How did you take to that?
I suppose if I said the truth, reluctance, I think it would be the word. But you got used to it at the end of the day, and it was more when the first month was really annoying because you only got one that would drop the step.
I was just going to ask you what about light infantry pace? Did you march at?
Oh, well, you broke into that one. Started with the basics, put 120, then you got up that one, when you got up 140, and you were marching in. You didn't carry the rifle, so it's not so bad, that one. That was done in Berlin most of the time, that one was when we did that in Berlin. Trained that one.
What about at Brandsbeth?
Brandsbeth, you just done the marching. We did get rifles issued with there. Sorry, we did, because we were issued with rifles at this mid-Brandsbeth. Because we had gone under 2-2, onto the, we used the 2-2 range, and then we used the 3-3s on that one.
We'll come on to that a little bit later, but what about the marching and the drill? How did everybody else take to it?
Well, most of them did. There was two, they lost weight, so they had to be taken off. And I can't remember the name. And a situation there where we had one man, he always wanted to get in the paper for some reason. And I didn't realise it. He always wanted to get his name in the paper, so he murdered his bloody wife. So it'll give you an idea what it was like. And he was put in, you know, open arrest and everything else. So he was doing a nothing. I think he was doing a table and nothing. But he came to me and says, I always want to be in the paper. And I'm his name in Chronicle. I don't know what happened to him, because we never found out about it after that one. What use of life? That was one of them. We had the boys, which you always have that type of thing, which you get used to. There was always a few things going missing, or shifted from one place to another. They put it blanket and put it up here. So,
how did the others react to being shouted at, for example, by the sergeants?
There's only, Sergeant Weir. And Knight was the other one. They were not, they got you, like, I mean, yes, you get used to shouting and everything else. It's when you're walking along up the path or something like that, you seem to take offence at that. Or, you know, getting shouted that way. Just after you come off the square for some unknown reason. Just the way they come at you, that was some things. You had to bite your teeth, that was it. Or, you know, bite your tongue, this year. But that's, I've got over that. Like I said to you, my brother said, you're going in, if you're not going to stop in for 2, make sure you don't break any rules. But then, guard was another thing we could put on. When you had to go on guard, and we see after about 6 weeks, you're on, wait, 5 weeks, I think it was, you put on guard. Well, and we see that they've got to see the flag, you know, salute the flag, the bugle calls. That was another thing, you had to get used to the bugle calls. But obviously I was fortunate that Harry was a bugler, so it wasn't so bad that way, you know, he knew some of them bugles. But gun and guard was a laugh, because you were on duty and there was no, you know, whether you'd have a regular way, you know, they expect somebody but you. And somebody would come and ask you some of the questions. Well, you didn't even know where the places were, or some of the officers' names, you know. And you just say, call out the guard, come out. Well, you know what that's like. It was, don't bring me out here for silly things like that. Eh?
What other sort of physical training were you doing there? Did you do PE?
Oh, yeah, PE all the time.
What did that consist of?
Jumping the horse, the pommels, the ropes. You had to do the ropes. Most of the physical things. If you could try and get you, if you were any good at boxing, they would have to try and get you in that ring and try to get you onto that type of thing. There wasn't much wrestling in the thing, because it was, you know, I was up into that. But most of it was just fit training. You mostly, you know, an hour in there and out again, you know.
Runs and...
Yeah. Then they started, then just before, just there, then we went on to their, what do you call it again, the assault course. Put one of your assault course and done the assault course.
What was that like?
Yeah, get the daft buggers all the same. You jump in, the assault course was a barbed wire with water in, but when you look at the land, if you run at the land, and especially me, I'm saying, being a brave, you're running up. There's not much way you go. Although you look as though you're running down, you're running up, and you can't jump up over. And quite one man is so far. And he says, oh, that was a good do, and he went and done the same again. So we're rather annoyed. Well, I say annoyed, laughing the giggle at that one, but great. Other ones knew better, let's try it. Yeah, the wall, you know, and that way. So, but that was done.
You have to help each other over the wall.
Yeah, well, you start on that one. You do more than drill in when they do that one. But that was the basics. It went funny gate. Then
I suppose it was all designed to get you working together.
Oh, that's where it is, teamwork. Teamwork and everything else. You've got to get used to it and put them where you've got to find a man that's big enough. You're big, you've got to lie and you've got to get pulled over the top. Strength's got to be the most important, isn't it?
Just come on to weapons training. What sort of weapons training did you do at Bransworth? You mentioned there that you were issued with a rifle.
We went on the 2.2s. We got the 2.2s and went on the 2.2 range for that one.
Was the range at Bransworth?
Yeah, range at Bransworth. It's like a built-in place. Then we'll use the 303s. That was to show you how to go on. And then we went down to Whitburn down Sunderland. And we're down there practicing down. We went down there for a photo shoot.
How often would you do that?
I think we went down. I think we went down both three times. Three times. Like, we were down there both three times, didn't it?
To Whitburn.
To Whitburn.
How would that? What sort of things were you doing at Whitburn?
Just good. You're just getting the transport to be taken down. You would be given the toss from 300 yards. Well, 300 yards. Run from 500 yards. 300 yards. Three fire rounds. One single. Then you get closer up. And you're 200 yards. You fire automatic. You know what I mean? Or maybe something. Maybe go to 100 yards and fire from there at the targets. But that was usual.
Did you have to reach a certain standard?
Well, I suppose when you look at them, they would have an officer be there checking the targets and that one. You'd have to remember that your rifles had to be zeroed in. I can't remember whoever got them right, was zeroed in. You know, when you fire a rifle, you've got to get it zeroed in straight away. The armourer's got to come and do that. So if that was done, well, then I suppose you could get reasonable in the target. The first target I think I could hit, mine was from... I fumbled 500 yards. I got about two inners and a couple of bolts. One which went by straight, and the next one I go through, and I was pretty reasonable on the rifle. And then about 300 yards, you know, getting in us in that one again. Rapid spread. I hit the target, that's put it up. I hit the target spread.
Was there a certain time you had to fire off so many rounds?
Yeah, well, you at your own time, it's always got to be at your own time when you go across. And if you're going to fire all together, well, that's a different thing, you know. Lined up and depending which way they were doing or what they were doing. Maybe it's four sometimes, there's 10 years sometimes there, depending how we're going down, what we're like.
So were you ever actually tested on your firing?
Oh,
your marksmanship?
Yeah, well, that was, we're tested there. We're all tested for that. Then we'll test it in Berlin. We'll test it in Berlin for that one again. It was strange that I was always going to get have a shoot for that one, but I never got it. And I was all the same because I used a stun gun when I went again when I went across went to Berlin when I went on to farther on. Now I was out there. I got a stun. I was using stun gun. And.
What other kind of weapons training were you doing? You describe using the rifle.
Oh yes, you do.
Bayonet, for example.
The bayonet, they didn't use the bayonet out. They showed you how to fix it and everything else. It was the pig sticker then. It was the little pig sticker. They showed you how to fit that on. Show you how to fire it with it. That one. Then you had to stand to it. You know that one. That was done more so in Berlin again. Training that one.
Yeah, we're just talking about Brandsford.
I can't remember in Brandsford doing that one. As I say, the training was they were pushing that fast to get there, because in March we were going out and there was another squad coming in March, so we'd had to be leaving out of that one. So they were, I suppose, like, what can I say? Dense in it, you know.
Intensive
and making it that way so they could get us away from the camp.
Because I think the normal initial training was about 10 weeks.
Yeah, right? six weeks then, a week off, and then you came back and you'd done the other 4 weeks after that one. So it was like 11 weeks then. But we didn't do that. I think we only, with the snow and that, and the training, I think back end of February when we went there, and they were coming in March. I think we went away about March back to Berlin, if I'm not mistaken. So it wasn't that close.
Did you do any other kind of weapons training then at France?
We got the grenade. You were talking to show the 303 in that one. The 36. You didn't, and that was the only one. That was the last of them, just most of that one, just the basics. I didn't do the Bren, or not that. I don't think I ever touched the Bren out there. Didn't do the Sten. Then you went and sat in courses and listened to them talk, and officers in that one, telling you what you expected and everything else.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that, the lessons, and what kind of lessons were you doing? Can you remember what the talks were about?
Most of the things was about hygiene, right? How we had to dig into trenches in that one. Listen to the orders, standard orders. Learn how to go to part one and part two orders on the notice board at all times. You had to go between hours and I can't remember the officers actually, because the one came in was Trent Sawbridge, but I don't know where he ever. And I don't know, Norm was there. You know, can't remember the officers really. They didn't, click. They were the only time we've seen. Most of the time we've seen the officers when we're going across to the castle. But they're going up the castle and do, duties up there, like cleaning. We got the fatigues because we were naughty boys who had to go and make briquettes. There was four joiners and six bricklayers, so we had to go and make the briquettes in the cold and under the cellars. All this dust and put a bit of cement in them and briquettes, them type of thing.
What were they used for?
For the fire, just to get rid of the stuff. It was just to get rid of dirt, and it was all it was. We'd get cleaned up and get wrong. Of course. We've got one back.
What are all other kinds of training? Did you do any tactical?
We're doing hockey. We also had a hockey pitch there. But it was damp. It was being a bit frosty. We had a couple of days of hockey. That was it. That was the only time we used there. Because that's one of the DLIs, sports. That one. We're doing that, played hockey. I think it was three of them there, lamed after that one. I think one landed one down in the county, I think it was.
You just mentioned before when you were talking about the kind getting talks and things, I think you said about digging trenches. Did you actually do any of that at Bransworth?
No, we didn't do that one. When we came back, we did. But right, that one didn't do that one. We were mostly getting you trained and getting you through. And then when you got through, it was just the initiation. And then away. It was mostly training, just marching. Listen to orders. Backward, left, forward.
Just drill and fitness training.
And that was the most
basically rifle training.
And training, that's it.
I think you mentioned a little bit of classroom work.
Oh, you're doing classroom work. You had to do classroom work. Well, that's an obvious. That would be the obvious thing to see where what position you can have in the job. That was what it was.
Was there any kind of final assessment when you'd finished this training?
No, we just put on a draft. We've got draft corporals. Bobby George, and that was the other one. And there was a corporal who went across, and I think it must have been Sawbridge was the one. Anyway, two officers went across. Well, that was it. The only thing that was just picked on was he got one score, and I got the other score.
So you've got a squad to.
Just put them on a ship and that one. They're getting on a barge and coming across and on the plate just to tell them what you had to do.
There wasn't anybody chosen for any kind of specialist training at this time, was there? About signals or that?
Nobody was there. All you done was the whole lot. We went through the whole 6 weeks together. You didn't move out of that thing. If they did, there would be maybe one or two, but we've never seen them once. But most of them just went through the same routine day in and day out. Especially the hut I was in, we never moved there. We're all in, coming across, down every day, trained. You know, and maybe one to be off colour, something like that, but you know, that one. I think we just all stuck together with this.
Did you do any gas training?
No, there's no gas training out there. No, we never done any gas training.
What was the fallout rate like? Did everybody stay? Anybody fell out, was there?
No, as I said, there was one at the hutch, and he went from 11 stone to 9 stone, so he, some model him, like an ulcer or something, I think it was. And the lad in the other paddocks, he was another one, but I think he had some sort of bone problem or something like that. He hurt his arm, and it was, you know, and whenever he didn't come out. But the other one, he was held back as well. But most were came out. We had a couple of intakes where we'd been in before, you know, like the old soldiers that had re-enlisted. Well, you can understand they didn't do that much drill, will we? You know what I mean? They would like do other jobs aside that. So they were gone across. Yeah. Most of the training was just done as basics.
Did you think your training prepared you for what was to come later on?
No, just it got you what you're going to learn and how to take notice of what they said doing everything else. That's what it was. I don't think I'd ever done anything there, just basics. Was to get you to listen to commands, take notice, and everything else. That's what it was, the only way.
Did you notice a change in the men around you from when you first started to the end of this period of initial training? Was there a great change in them?
Well, the quiet one was the noisy ones, and the noisy ones was the opposite way. Some of them went the other way. And it happens in whichever life you go to. It's just how they can fit in with each other. Then you may get the other one that's he's picked another bloke, and then he's somebody to stand up and help him, and he's after that one he just feels he's comfortable. But that's was what happened. I don't think there was very much change about that. You always had the one that had a little bit more money than what you had. You know, his mummy would send him something like that. But you always had the one that was skinned.
How much were you getting paid?
28 shillings we're getting. I had to send 7 shilling back for to my dad. 7 shilling back for my dad. And that was what it was, 28 shilling. It would draw about, I think about 17 shilling. I think we're drawing about 17 shilling. 17 or something like that. Well, it would have been, it's going to be 17 shilling, so it would have to be 17 and 6. Because it got to be in the tunnels, that's what it was. It always make me laugh with that one, but it was all the same. How that you've got to get paid by the day, I think it is. 7 days, it's got to be divided by 7 days. So you would do 21, they would keep maybe 3 and 6 back for stuff like that, though, and the body doing damages like.
Did you have any, what happened at the end of this initial training? Was there a formal pass out?
Yeah, one of the families came in, we had a pass out in the square, and quite a few of them come across. The best one was a lad from Stockton, I think he came from Stockton. His family came in, and they called him Headley, and he's a scrap merchant. The scrapyard people. And they come in with a horse and carts, and it was brilliant to see them come in with a horse and carts and all the gear on. You know, that was the biggest love. Nobody come up to my family, I didn't see. And Harry didn't get nobody to come up. It was very, I don't think any of us that from Bertie ever come there, but there's some of them came in to see the passing out. And that was it, they just passed out. And I think we had a sandwiches and a nuffy, and, you know, the family was there.
Did you do, what about unit loyalty? Was there much of that taught to you in that period of time?
No.
You didn't sort of do any history of the battalion or
anything? The only thing about that, well, the only time they came for that one, there was a man come out of their associations, and he wanted to join the association as a life member, and it was 21 shilling, I think it was a 21 shilling. And for that, you could join the association and be a life member. And I think he got someone to join, you know what I mean? The ones that would join would be the ones that the fathers had been in, because we had some of the lads who had fathers and brothers, you know, or uncles in, you know what I mean, into them, so that would be the ones. And so they joined, because the father would tell them what it was. We didn't join it. I joined it there later on in Berlin. I joined it in Berlin again. I joined it with another lad, because he says it would be an advantage to us, so we started joining that one.